Second Thought is a 100% viewer-funded operation. If you'd like to help support the channel and get some great perks while you're at it, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. So, it was Easter recently. At time of writing, at least. These videos take a while to make. Cut me some slack. Anyway, what do you think of when you hear the word Easter? Springtime, Easter bunny, candy, resurrection of Jesus for our Christian comrades, and of course, these little guys. I have great memories of Easter egg hunts with my family, and now that I have a young daughter of my own, I'm excited to give her the same experience. So imagine my surprise when we go to the neighborhood playground on Easter, and there are a handful of adults trying to keep kids from picking up a bunch of eggs. Seemed a little weird. So I asked one of them what was going on, and they said, better not to look inside. So naturally, I had to look inside. Here's what I found. Even for someone who keeps tabs on these freaks for a living, this was a little shocking. We live in a quiet suburb, there's never any trouble. And yet here we were, standing somewhere designed for children to play, picking up Easter eggs with fascist rhetoric inside. And if you think about it, this one little Easter egg is indicative of the whole fascist undercurrent in the US. Let's unpack what's going on here. I think we should start with a quick rundown of the Proud Boys and the other fascist groups in the US, because the state of official fascist organizations has changed over the last few years. The Proud Boys are an exclusively male hate group operating in the US and Canada. Besides their deeply funny no girls allowed rule, these losers are big proponents of the white genocide myth, the idea that white people, a designation that seems to fluctuate whenever convenient, are being replaced by encroaching hordes of nebulously ethnic babies. The group has been described as an alt-right fight club, conservative extremists, alt-light, overtly Islamophobic and misogynistic, and all too willing to embrace racists, anti-Semites, and bigots of all kinds. They've engaged in political violence, attended the January 6th insurrection, and have been banned from pretty much every social media platform. Officially, the Canadian arm of the organization shut down after being rightly labeled a terrorist group. The Proud Boys were established in 2016, spearheaded by Gavin McInnes, one of the co-founders of Vice. Over the next few years, they went through a handful of leaders, the most recent being this guy, Enrique Tarrio, who in 2023 was sentenced to 22 years in prison for his role in the insurrection. Tarrio is a Miami Cuban, which tells you pretty much all you need to know as far as his politics goes. But it came out during his trial that he was also an informant for the feds, which led to a schism in the Proud Boys, who just couldn't believe that one of their own would work for the evil government. Gotta love how naive these people are. When the judge delivered the sentence, Tarrio begged the court, "Please show me mercy. I ask that you not take my 40s from me." That's how quickly the tough guy act crumbles. As of right now, the Proud Boys seem to be in disarray. They get kicked from every platform they try to organize on, a bunch of their members got locked up after January 6th, and they seem more than a little spooked that they got infiltrated by the feds. A handful of state branches have said they won't acknowledge any national leadership, and they're just kind of doing their own thing. So with any luck, the organization will die out. That doesn't mean their remaining members aren't dangerous, though, so keep that in mind. Besides the Proud Boys, we've got the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, Patriot Front, and Patriot Prayer. The Three Percenters are the oldest group on the list. The organization was founded in 2008. If you live in Texas like I do, you've probably seen Three Percenter bumper stickers. The name comes from the assumption that 3% of a given country's population is enough to overthrow the government. The group was officially dissolved in 2021 after January 6th, and you'll start to notice a trend there. A bunch of its members were thrown in jail, and once again, Canada labeled them a terrorist group. Like the Proud Boys, local branches of the 3%ers still remain active. The Oath Keepers are the next oldest, founded just 1 year after the 3%ers. This is another anti-government but pro-constitution group. And tellingly, its membership is 2/3 former military and police, and 10% active duty. Best guesses as to their numbers hover around 5,000 people, but the org itself claims to have a membership of 38,000. These thugs are known for showing up at protests, political rallies, and whatever events they determine to be woke, armed with guns and with their faces covered. Once again, a number of their higher-ups are serving over a decade in prison for seditious conspiracy, though this group seems to have been more resilient than their cowardly counterparts, choosing not to shutter their operation. In fact, according to a data breach, as of 2021, 48 state and local officials and 10 sitting state lawmakers were listed among the group's members. This would suggest a different approach from the other fascist cells, choosing to pursue electoral infiltration as opposed to strictly acts of terror. The final two organizations significant enough to mention are Patriot Front and Patriot Prayer. They all love this Patriot stuff, and we'll get to that in a bit. Patriot Prayer was founded in 2016 in the suburbs of Washington State. Suburbs, that's another thing we'll talk about. Their whole shtick is to harass liberal and left-wing groups in the Pacific Northwest and get in street fights with anti-fascists, which have often been filmed and uploaded to inspire other budding fascists to get involved more physically. According to an informant, there are only about 15 of these guys. They've just been really good at making a name for themselves because typically, fascists are cowards who will scatter when it looks like a fight is coming. Finally, the youngest org on the list, Patriot Front. This is another small organization, but I bet you've heard more about them than some of the others. Where the rest play coy and beat around the bush, these guys are explicit in their fascism. They've even got the fascies as part of their logo. If I had to guess which group would end up being the most influential in the fascist movement, it would be Patriot Front. For a bunch of reactionaries, they're pretty good at branding, combining traditional Americana with fascist symbolism. In every successful past fascist movement, that's been a key element. It takes on the flavor of whatever culture it boils up in. You've probably heard the quote, "When fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross." Case in point. Patriot Front is another group that punches above its weight in terms of membership. Best estimates put the number at just 200. But they accounted for 82% of all incidents in 2021 that involved the distribution of fascist, racist, or otherwise bigoted propaganda in the US. If you zoom out a bit, this is all kind of interesting. You've got your fraternity, your militias, your street thugs, and your propagandists. That's a pretty well-developed fascist undercurrent, even if, for now, they seem to be licking their wounds. What happens when they start organizing across the different groups? Speculation aside, the important thing to realize about American fascism is that it's not confined to this handful of explicitly fascist groups. It's become mainstream among the American right. Let me give you an example. Here's an ex-military business owner back during peak COVID.
"But it's not going to be peaceful much longer, okay? And this isn't a threat. I'm not a criminal. I've never been a criminal. But I'm telling you that good citizens are going to turn into real concerned and revolutionary citizens real soon. And nobody else is going to say that. I'm probably the only person that has a balls to say what I'm saying right now. That we're building, we're organizing, and we'll work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. But you won't stop us when time comes because our families are starving. And if you don't hear the seriousness of my voice, I hope you open your ears and you absolutely listen to what I'm saying. Because this is a warning for what's coming. It's not going to be peaceful much longer. It's not going to be rah-rah. It's not going to be speeches. It's not going to be gathering outside saying a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not going to be waving flags. It's going to be real. When you've seen the things that I've seen, I went to war for this country. I've seen the ugliest, dirtiest part of humanity. I've been in combat, and I never want to go back again. But I'm telling you what, I will to save this country. If it has to be against our own citizens, it will happen. And there's a million people like me, and you won't stop us."
Sounds pretty bad. But this is exactly the type of person we saw at the Capitol riot. All the fascist groups were there. At least 700 members of their organizations got arrested. But they were a drop in the bucket compared to what most people would call average conservatives. Only around 13% of those charged in the Capitol riots were formal members of militant groups like the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, and the Oath Keepers. The remaining 87% were a mix of garden variety Trump supporters and conservatives LARPing as revolutionaries. The overwhelming majority of people who stormed the Capitol were just average Republicans. And you can tell. They didn't look like the typical far-right extremists. They were typically older, with around two-thirds being over 35. They were much less likely to be unemployed. A full 14% of the attendees charged were business owners, and 30% were white-collar workers. These aren't normal far-right extremist demographics. These are just Republican constituency demographics. That's why fascists target the suburbs, as we mentioned earlier. The aggrieved white middle class is ripe for radicalization. The average American conservative wants to overthrow the government to establish some weird anti-woke theocracy based on a mythologized version of the past. And don't take my word for it, they're literally advocating for it in their magnum opus, Project 2025, which we made a video about a while back. Okay, why is this happening? Conservatives have always been reactionary, but what's changed in the last decade or so? Well, there are a few factors. We'll start with a culture war issue, the white genocide myth. The Great Replacement Theory is a classic among fascists. It asserts that there is a plot, which really means they think it's a Jewish thing, that the white race and white culture, whatever that means, are disappearing because of immigration from majority non-white countries. Fascists believe this will cause some general persecution of white people, because of course they can't imagine the world being run without one race subjugating another. This is the theory that motivated the Christchurch shooter Brenton Tarrant and the El Paso shooter Patrick Crucius, and it's both unfounded and blatantly fascist. You won't be surprised to learn that this theory has a historical trajectory that starts in World War II, runs through the European fascist movements, the American Nazi Party, and has now found a home among the majority of the Republican electorate. Here's a clip of Tucker Carlson endorsing the theory on Fox, calling it by name, and likening it to eugenics.
Joe Biden just said it, to change the racial mix of the country. That's the reason, to reduce the political power of people whose ancestors lived here and dramatically increase the proportion of Americans newly arrived from the Third World. And then Biden went further. He said that non-white DNA is the, quote, source of our strength. Imagine saying that. This is the language of eugenics. It's horrifying. But there's a reason Biden said it. In political terms, this policy is called the Great Replacement, the replacement of legacy Americans with more obedient people from faraway countries. They brag about it all the time, but if you dare to say it's happening, they will scream at you with maximum hysteria. And here you have Joe Biden confirming his motive on tape with a smile on his face.
This type of racist xenophobia isn't new. Every fascist project in history has needed to create a chosen people and a barbaric enemy to justify their anti-human politics. Even a cursory glance at any history book will make it clear where this trend comes from. But why does it start in the first place? Human beings can be awful, distrustful people, but just randomly deciding to build an exterminatory worldview out of their bigotry doesn't make much sense. We need to dig a little deeper and look beyond the culture war rhetoric to really understand the appeal of fascism. Socialism and fascism are both on the rise, and it's pretty easy to see why. Beneath every movement is an economic catalyst. Fascism is seen as a solution to an economic problem, just as socialism is. But the difference is that fascism does not threaten the primacy of capital, or the comfortable position of the white liberal, a critical ally of fascist movements throughout history. Economic hardship creates conditions where bitterness, distrust, and desperation can thrive, making the masses an easy target for charismatic and bombastic fascists. Think back to that town hall video. What did the guy say was the spark for their aggression? Not being able to feed their families. And you know what? That's a perfectly valid reason to be upset. The problem is the solution he and other fascists land on is to exterminate or deport anyone deemed to be detrimental to white people making money and keeping their privileged position. Or, in their eyes, prevent hardworking patriots from losing economic ground because their opportunities are being stolen by foreigners. The economic base of fascism has always been the petite bourgeois, or as I like to call them, the roofing class, small business owners, the guys who have a handful of contractors and pay $1,200 a month on an F-150 Raptor that's never been used for any kind of manual labor. But I digress. I really try my best to understand fascists because it's an interesting phenomenon. Socialism offers, in my opinion, a common-sense solution to the ills of capitalism. Economic democracy. The people who do the work have a say in how the work is done, and profits can't be siphoned off by unelected corporate tyrants. Fascism, on the other hand, has to create this elaborate fantasy to justify why one particular group of people is destined to inherit the earth. And conveniently, it's the people in your country and the group you happen to fall into. It's the same gripe I have with Calvinists. They believe that all humans are predestined to go to either heaven or hell, and nothing we do can influence that destiny. I've never met a Calvinist who believes they're going to hell. If I try really hard to check my basic human decency at the door, I can see why fascist mythology could be appealing. It lets you off the hook. It justifies the worst cruelties because you are defending what is good and righteous from human animals who want to tear down a beautiful civilization. The problem is, the civilization fascists claim to be defending has never existed. It's a myth. There is no single white race. Just ask the Irish, or the Italians, or the Russians, or the Ukrainians, or the Jews, who have all had their white card revoked or granted at some point. There is no period in American history where everything was great for the white working class. Every worker in this country has always been at the mercy of the elite. But not the elite fascists assume are pulling the strings. It's not a shadowy cabal of woke Jews. It's just the people who own the means of production. They're not shy about it. People like Warren Buffett routinely admit there's a class war being waged, and that the capitalists want to make sure that they win it. The glorious fascist revolution that these self-proclaimed patriots want, it's not revolutionary at all. It's just turning back the clock to a time where these class antagonisms were less apparent. Where the capitalist class still had complete control over society, but maybe black people had fewer rights. If that's your vision of utopia, you're a moron. You are risking decades in prison because you want to make sure the boot stays on your neck because you like the lies the boot spouts while it's stepping on you. The Republicans love fascists because it's an ideology that maintains the economic status quo. They don't like it when their useful idiots try to lynch them, so people have to go to jail for that. But on the whole, there's a reason the ruling class tolerates fascism and not socialism. Socialism is genuinely revolutionary, whereas fascism is just a cancerous offshoot of capitalism that can, in their mind, be used as a tool when needed. And this isn't the first time the ruling class has taken advantage of economic precarity. Once upon a time, a group of super wealthy capitalists hatched a scheme to try to convince a group of vulnerable Americans to launch an insurrection and overthrow the government, at which point the group of oligarchs would establish what amounted to a fascist dictatorship in the service of capital. Sounds a bit like January 6th, doesn't it? This attempted coup was called the Business Plot, and it actually happened way back in 1933. The short version is that a retired general, one Smedley Butler, was approached by a would-be financier who offered him funding and 500,000 men to lead an insurrection to depose then-President FDR. Roosevelt's election and subsequent economic reforms had horrified conservative businessmen, who saw him as a socialist. So, naturally, when given the choice between socialism and fascism, they overwhelmingly sided with fascism, telling Butler they hoped to install him as an all-powerful Secretary of General Affairs, while Roosevelt would assume a figurehead role. Unfortunately for the plotters, Butler ratted them out. In his later years, General Butler had come to support FDR, and was a fairly outspoken critic of capitalism, referring to his past self as a high-class muscle man for Wall Street. The business plot failed, and it gives us a great example of how economic precarity can be weaponized to fascist ends. The capitalist understood that thousands of First World War veterans were disenchanted with the US, having not received their promised benefits, and they figured if they could just get a popular, willing leader to stoke the discontent into a fascist fervor, they'd have free rein of the country's economy, creating an unholy merger of capital and the state, a cornerstone of fascism. What we are seeing today has the same hallmarks of every other period where fascism has grown in popularity. Economic insecurity, the formation of fascist paramilitaries, and a series of charismatic figures trying to tap into the rising tide of far-right populism for personal gain. While it's important to have empathy for people who are struggling economically and looking for answers, once someone chooses to become a fascist, they are a threat. But it's also important to realize that these people are by and large losers and cowards. They talk a big game, but they run away when faced with anti-fascist resistance. Instead of getting up on a soapbox like their idols, they target children with hate speech and lurk online. They wear ridiculous outfits complete with cardboard shields. And if we're being honest, most of these people don't really match the Ubermensch archetype. At the end of the day, they're pathetic reactionaries who whine about wokeness and weaponize culture and religion to spread a hateful message with no basis in reality. But that doesn't mean they're not dangerous. Never underestimate your enemy, especially when they've convinced themselves that they are the chosen ones and everybody else is subhuman. So, is the US headed for fascism? Yes and no. The US is a settler colonial imperialist project. It's primed for fascism by default. Any nation dependent on the exploitation of others is one bad quarter away from going full Mussolini. That being said, the economic conditions that allow for the growth of fascism also result in the growth of class consciousness, which gives socialism a chance to fight back. Under every single fascist regime in history, the socialists were the first to be targeted, because fascists know that socialism is a threat to capital, and that any truly egalitarian system has to get rid of the exploitative system that is capitalism. Fascists don't want revolutionary change. They want violent maintenance of the status quo, and they want to turn the violence of the empire usually reserved for foreigners inward, suppressing whatever groups they don't like. So yes, fascism is on the rise. So is socialism. And it's our job to make sure this time fascists don't get their way, and that instead we forge a path towards a brighter, more humane future. I mentioned at the beginning of the video that this channel is entirely grassroots funded. Since sponsors don't want to touch videos like these, we have to rely on the generous support of viewers like you. If you'd like to help keep this channel afloat and get some great perks while you're at it, consider becoming a patron on Patreon. All patrons, regardless of pledge amount, get early access to every video, plus access to our patrons-only Discord server. We just did a major update to the Discord, with a revamped leveling system and monthly Discord Nitro giveaways to active members. We've also got a bunch of other cool stuff like a book club, live Q&As with me every month, and a dedicated educator role for users ready to answer any questions you have about socialism. We've built a thriving community, and we'd love for you to be part of it. So if you'd like to join the Discord, get early access to every video, and help support genuinely principled socialist content, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. If you enjoyed this video, leave us a like. If you hated it, a thumbs down. You can check out our other content by following the links on your screen. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.